Welcome to the BVA Boardroom Podcast. We have a very special guest today, and I'm very pleased to say this, Fred, new partner, Fred Bruning. Thank you so much for coming on, Fred, and talking a little bit about what we're up to, and I just can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Tommy, it's my honor to be here. I feel like I've landed in a field of upgrades with you and your company and all the exciting things that we have to do up in the Intermountain West. I think it's going to be a really, really wonderful few years of fulfillment and great projects and a lot of fun and making communities better places.
You know, the timing of this podcast, for the listeners, Fred and I have been on meetings this morning together. And I just got off the last meeting just before we started this podcast, and I immediately called Courtney Lydiard, our partner over in Idaho Falls, and I said, Courtney, it's like a dream. It's literally like, at some point you got to pinch yourself and say, this is real. It's been the greatest pleasure ever. I want to start these. So most of our listeners are business folks. A lot of Treasure Valley businesses, business leaders listen to these and like to get an idea of what's going on business-wise, but I think it's always most fascinating to talk about the individuals we have on and what they've learned and what they bring. And with you, there's a lot to get to today. But if you wouldn't mind, Fred, for those, I will, as part of this formal production, we'll have a little bio we'll read about you, but tell us a little bit about you and kind of your history, getting us up to today and kind of where you've been.
Oh, I appreciate that, Tommy. Well, probably the most important thing about me is I married up to a beautiful girl named Brandis, who is the light of my life. And she's always been an inspiration to me. And she was always the one who said, go out and try. And I know you'll succeed, and I'll do anything I can to help you succeed in whatever it is you want to do. And so I've had this wonderful support with wife and children and family and friends. And I've now been in the real estate business for about 45 years. I started out working my way through college and law school at Sears Roebuck in Pasadena, California. And I had a kind store manager who, when I graduated from law school, got me an interview, and I became a real estate attorney for Sears. And had a great department head in the legal department who got me an interview to be the head of real estate for Sears for the Western United States, which I got to do for several years. And that allowed me to work in wonderful areas like the Treasure Valley and all through the Western U.S., learning the markets, learning about retail, learning about designing shopping centers, what have you. This was at a time when Sears was very busy, and so I got to work on 20 or 30 new deals a year. Went to work in the private development sector after that with a couple of other developers, including a guy by the name of John Price out of Salt Lake. And I got to be John Price's vice president of development for Boise Town Square. And I remember when we were developing Boise Town Square, all of the city leaders told me it would never work because no one in Boise would ever drive that far west to go shopping.
A repeating theme, Fred.
And from there, you know, I worked on a number of great projects in the Intermountain West, started my own company back in 1998 called Center Oak Properties. We developed a number of properties everywhere from Yakima, Washington, to Riverton, Utah, to Farmington, Utah, to the Village of Meridian, as we changed the company from Center Oak to Center Cal, as we were affiliated with the California State Teachers Retirement System as our principal investor on those projects. And really, I think over the career of the 45 years, I've probably worked on about 250 retail projects and mixed-use projects, all in the Western U.S., so Rockies West. I've never been more excited about a time in my career than I am right now, because I think I finally learned enough to be semi-dangerous. But I've also found some great partners in Ball Ventures Alquist, in Ball Ventures. We have a great team that worked with me back in my CenterCal career that's come along as well. And in the short period of time we've been working, we have several great projects that seem to be coming together very quickly that I think are going to raise the level of quality of mixed use and retail development, not only in the Treasure Valley, but in Utah and also maybe up in Idaho Falls as well. So once again, I feel like I've been dropped into a field of upgrades, and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, Fred, it's been a dream. A couple of things I want to hit on. Tell us before we go much farther, though, because I know now that I've been with you as a partner for the last several months, I know a couple of things about you. One, that the mind never stops working, and two, you never stop working. I mean, we talk a lot. You're always thinking and planning, and your vision. I've told people already. I think I've learned more in 3 or 4 months about mixed-use development than I have in 20 years, just because of the way I get to see you do your thing. And so we'll talk a little bit about work. But before we get there, tell us a little bit about flying, because the elevated property company logo has the plane on it. And I want to hear a little bit about that. And then quickly, and then I'll let you talk, we had one of your longtime consultants in our office today, and he told the story that he's been in the biplane. And you may have cut a deal or two in that biplane over the years, and you probably have people very vulnerable when you cut those deals. So with that intro, tell us a little bit about flying, that other passion of yours.
Well, I was always the kid at home who would run outside whenever an airplane would fly overhead and just take a look at it, and I was fascinated by it. And when I graduated from law school and finally got a little money put aside, I actually took flying lessons. And I started by flying gliders out of pear blossoms, so sailplanes. And then a friend of mine bought an old antique Stearman biplane. And it's open cockpit, front and back seat, Continental 220 on the front. Like flying a motorcycle. I went for one ride and I was hooked, and I scrimped and saved, and that beautiful wife of mine I might have mentioned at the start said, "I know we're just starting out, we don't have the money, but go ahead and buy it because I know it's going to make you really happy." And so I bought an identical Stearman biplane, learned how to fly that, and then I became an aerobatics pilot in the Stearman, so I got to do all the maneuvers, the loops, the spins, the rolls, what have you. We took the biplane several years out to the ICSC in Las Vegas. And we would give rides to people like Bruce Nordstrom, and we'd have them dogfighting with Dave Mackey. And they'd come back and give them the white scarf, to put on and wear through the rest of the conference. Always great fun. I used to fly with a group called the Dawn Patrol. And so we would do formation flights and aerobatic shows for Memorial Day, what have you. And it has been known that certain tenants have gone up with me, and as we're doing a loop or gone inverted, they'll hear over the radio, "Are you ready to sign the lease?" But again, thank you for bringing that up. It's been a lifetime hobby and great fun.
I love it. And I heard one of those stories firsthand today, which was it was great. I want to ask you one other question before we move on. I've been around a lot of people in my life that are leaders. I started in medicine, spent a long time in medicine, been in the business world and community, been in the kind of the service world of lots of great leaders in churches and nonprofits. Now that I'm getting to know you, Fred, I think you uniquely, and I don't say this lightly, of all the people I've known in my life, probably or for sure are the most respected professional that I've ever been around. And I want to learn. I mean, this podcast, for those that are listening, I think you could take away, hey, here are ways that I want to be better or do better, or the mentorship, I think, is a big deal. Fred, it's remarkable. Everywhere you've been and the people that know you esteem you at the highest level. And I just, it's been impressive and quite honestly, unbelievable. Our whole team is just like, this guy is a pro, the real deal. Like, tell us a little bit about how important relationships have been for you and a little bit about that ethos, where it comes from, of how you treat everybody and what that's meant to your career and what you might tell a younger professional in whatever field they're in.
I appreciate that, Tommy. That's very high praise because it's something that does mean a lot to me as well. I think the most important thing in my life was I was always helped along by people who never needed to help me. They just did it out of the kindness of their heart, whether it was my store manager in Pasadena that got me that interview at the Sears law firm, that started my career in the industry, or my beautiful wife, Brenda, saying, "Yes, I will," when I asked her to marry me. I mean, I've always sort of lived life feeling like I was sort of the awkward kid that got invited to the cool kids party by mistake. And so I've always felt that if I could, relate to the rest of the room, that it was just an honor to be there. and that what I was going to learn from everybody else around me was equal to or greater than what I could add to the conversation. I've always tried to make that a principal part of every negotiation I've ever done. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, respecting people, understanding that their needs and desires and what is really important to them may not be obvious to you at the first. So learn about them. Understand what it is that they really are going after. And whether that's in a relationship, that's you're just talking with a friend, or whether you're doing a deal with Nordstrom, and you want to understand, well, really, what is it about this trade area that is important to you? And how do you want to shine here in this asset? And what can we do to help achieve that vision? If you're looking to make the other side glow a bit more brightly than you are yourself, you're probably going in a good direction.
The raw authenticity in which I watch you interact with others, it is so real because you care, you listen. And I think being around you and watching you as a mentor now, how you interact, because we've been in several meetings now where I've been able to go, that was just different. And I watch you connect with people. But I also think one of the things I wanted to say today was, in my mind, you know, I'm 56 this month, right? So I've been around a while. And to me, in the business world, there are kind of these hard charging, high energy individuals that seem to accomplish a lot. And then there are a lot of really nice people. But it's more unusual to see hard-charging individuals that are also really, really nice people that are doing it genuinely. And I think that, for me, is Fred Bruning, the hallmark of who you are, because you can be driven, hard-charging. We've just started together, but I don't know anyone that works as hard as you, that's more driven and vision and focus and the whole thing you have going on, but you also can do it in a way that you're respectful and professional in those things. Maybe you can follow up on that a little bit, because I think that's so rare.
Well, I appreciate that, Tommy. And again, that's very high praise. And believe me, I don't feel like I deserve it, you know, to start with. But you know, it's interesting. I love what I do. I love the idea of creating these projects that are going to benefit the communities that they serve. I love working with the retailers and working with the elected officials and the neighbors. You know, the whole constituency that we have in these projects, with the idea of elevating the communities that we serve. You know, taking the tax basis of the community, just the general joy of getting together in a lovely gathering place, and then bringing that to the community and having that be sort of an ongoing gift. You know, that you feel like you're giving every day. I'll often find myself waking up at 3 a.m. because I've just imagined what a plaza is going to look like on a new project, and I can't wait to get up and start, you know, writing down notes. So again, it just that part of it comes a bit naturally to me. But I think again, just respecting people, understanding that work is a kind of worship, you know, and work as service to the community and service to your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers. So you're helping them to be more successful as well and have better careers. To me, that's all been just extremely important, whether I'm teaching an inner city kid to fly the biplane or working with the mayor in Meridian to try to do with the village of Meridian. I feel the same spirit of service in the same way, no matter what it is I'm doing. So there's nothing complicated about me. I just like people, and I just feel like I got invited to the cool kids party by mistake.
Oh, it's just fantastic. Again, it's just great to be around. I do want to get a little bit to some of the projects for those. A lot of our listeners are here in Idaho. So the Village of Meridian, a trademark. I mean, this is a landmark project for Idaho, for sure. Right on Eagle Road. I remember meeting you and just going, oh my goodness, this thing is, it's just so magnificent. And it's been a gathering place and really is kind of the town center for Meridian. It's been very successful development for now 15 plus years. And now just this last few weeks, In-N-Out opened up there, and mm-hmm. That's your project. You developed that. I think fewer people might know that you bought Treasure Valley Marketplace, which is also down in Napa, a very large retail development. So two big retail developments that have your fingerprints on over those. The one in Napa was not developed by you, but purchased by you and ran by you. But I just think the vision, I go back to 15 years ago and what was in your mind that got to what the Village is as a gathering place, the fountains, the landscaping, the way it's walkable, the way it all works. And what I want to try to talk about a little bit on this podcast is that's your version 15 years ago. Now, since then, there's also been all the things you've done everywhere else. And now, together, Fred, we've got lots of projects to do together, but two of the ones I want to talk a little bit about is you got, you know, Whitewater Village, that'll be the CWI project down on the Boise River, the 10 acres we're developing together, and we'll own together, and then 10 Mile, the district at 10 Mile, which is 222 acres. So maybe you could talk a little bit about doing the village and kind of where did that vision come from and how did you put that together, what you've learned, and then what those listening might expect from these two new Treasure Valley projects that we're doing together.
Well, the one thing I'm sure of is that retail is an ever-changing stream and that there's no beginning, there's no end. It will always reinvent itself. Some basics will always be there. And actually, having worked at Sears and worked on a number of enclosed malls, I feel like I have a lot to atone for. Because what we did was we actually created projects that only did one thing well, and that is you could shop there. But it wasn't really a gathering place. There wasn't really a place community could meet and gather. I mean, sitting in a center court in a mall or maybe sitting in the food court is not the most pleasant thing you could probably think of doing on a day. But I go back to the history. One of my hobbies is archaeology. And I've been on a number of digs, and I've spent a lot of time in the Middle East and in Europe. And you go back to communities that are thousands of years old, and they knew how to create gathering places. It could have been the souk in Byzantium. It could have been the agora in Greece or the forum in Rome. People would come there, and they could shop. They could eat. They could dine. They could listen to plays. They could do just about anything you could imagine, but mostly they could meet their friends. And you'd see your neighbors. And you had a gathering place. And so in thinking about the Village of Meridian and other projects we've done like Station Park and others as a company, we thought about what if we create a gathering place? What if we could create a spot where people could come? They don't need to shop. They can just come and sit and watch the fountain. They could watch, you know, the trees, the lights. You know, they could see their neighbors and friends. In addition just to shopping, they could work because we have some Class A office. They could also live, you know, with some great residential components in a number of our projects as well. They can work out, you know, they can read, they can go to a bookstore, they can do 15 or 20 different things. And I think creating an authentic place is something that retail will always be about. And I think what you're seeing now in the greater industry is the malls trying to reinvent themselves a bit, becoming more of a gathering place. Something like a Village at Meridian, which technology is actually almost 20 years old from the planning stage, you know, to where it is today, but I think still reflects very well on the community, and I think it'll be for generations more a great gathering place. But there are also new ideas and new ways of looking at mix and new ways of looking at these projects, where I think the next couple of projects that you're going to see in Idaho, I think Whitewater Village for one, and I think the district at 10 Mile are going to be that next level of elevated property for the Treasure Valley. And that's why I'm so excited, because we get to start with a new canvas on both of them and take all of the stuff that we've worked on for years, and Tommy, that you've worked on with your company in creating wonderful places as well, and put all that talent together. And at a time when everybody now wants to come to Utah and Idaho from a retail and restaurant perspective. So I think we're going to be able to really take it up a notch and have a lot of fun together.
You said it a few times, the elevating communities, elevating, thus the name of the new company, right, Fred? Elevated Property Company. One of the things I want to, people have asked me how might these new developments be different? And one of the things that I'm learning from you is it's not just retail, it's not just entertainment, it's not just office, it's also how can you integrate living spaces. So at the district at 10 Mile, a lot of attention is being paid right now with the entire team of how do you make those residential units be one, diverse types of units so that you're getting lots of different options for people with living on the site. And then how does that walkable, how does that connect, how does that interact with a retail center? So if you live there, it feels like you still have a neighborhood, but you're close to these amenities. And if you're coming to the site, it still feels like you're coming to a retail site. And it's just been an absolute, just a pleasure watching you do your magic, because it's really cool. It makes guys like me say, gosh, I wish I would have been with you 5-10 years ago. and what would I have done differently? But it's never too late to learn new things and grow together, and I'm really excited about that. So your team, a little bit about your team, you know, Sean Dennison, Sean Hardy, Chris Byers came over from CenterCal, wonderful people. There's projects that we, in fact, our meetings today are a few projects in Utah, and I know we've got our eyes on a couple of other states right now. So the idea with this company will be to be a regional company, which is new for me, Fred, because I've been pretty happy just kind of head down doing things around close to home. But I can't imagine a better opportunity than we have to go and follow you to these other sites. You want to talk a little bit about your vision for Elevated Property and maybe a little bit about your team so that they can listen to this and know how much we love and appreciate them.
Well, I appreciate that because the people I work with are the upgrades, you know, in my life. And so Sean Dennison and I have worked together now for over a decade. He's a very, very prominent attorney. He has worked on the retail side and the developer side, and is one of the finest attorneys I've ever met in terms of land use and also working with the tenants. Sean also shares something that I do, is he makes very good friends of the tenants he works with. So it's not just a business relationship, and you're not just trying to get up on somebody or get a point through or something of that nature. You're actually friends with these people, and so at the end of the day, you're trying to create a document that works for both sides equally well. And that's one of the negotiating points that I've always tried to ensure we have, whether that's with a city or retail tenant or any partner. Yeah, everyone has to do well for you to feel good about the project that you're in. Chris Byers probably is regarded as one of the top leasing people in the country. You never want to go to a conference with Chris because every 5 feet, someone's going to stop her and want to give her a hug and talk to her for 10 minutes because everybody wants to talk to Chris. But she has probably done deals with, I would imagine, at least 1,000 retailers. And again, friendship-based with many of them, highly respected. So once again, I feel as if, you know, there's a wonderful Navajo proverb, when I see my brother coming, my work is done. And that certainly is a fulfillment of that proverb. Sean Hardy, who is also with us, is actually probably one of the best analysts I've ever run across and is really good at crunching numbers. But what's wonderful about Sean, too, is he feels the good that we're developing in the projects. And so I think, again, what's motivating him as well is we're creating something that's really going to be something very positive for the community. And what I love most of all in these projects as we look at going forward on these new areas is take an area that might be a little bit hurting financially. In Farmington, Utah, the community was one of the poorest in the state of Utah before our project in terms of government revenue, and it's now one of the wealthiest because primarily of Station Park. And so it's always fun to, you know, see that your project is having tangible results real time in the communities that you serve. So if we can continue to do that in Utah, Idaho, I think Washington, potentially Colorado, maybe up into Montana, that area, just basically the Intermountain West, you have areas that are growing leaps and bounds. And I think with a little bit of forethought and planning, you can elevate the trajectory of that growth so that what happens is not just a bunch of strip centers or not just a bunch of, you know, ill-thought-out projects, you know, that go down the road, but something that's actually going to be transformative to the communities that they're in, that will be solid investments for generations to come because they'll hold their value if they're planned properly and designed correctly. And also be good environmental stewards, because I think as different nodes grow in the community, it saves people from having to get in their car and drive too long or too far to get to a place that they can call their third place, you know, the place away from home and work that they can feel comfortable and just where they want to meet their neighbors, meet their friends, maybe propose to their beautiful wife, but someplace where they can be connected to the communities they serve. So, and Tommy, the one thing I know is you and your team reflect that attitude. One of the reasons I thought was so honored to be able to come and join you in partnership is everyone I talk to reflects that same attitude in you and your team. To me, that's worth more than any gold that was ever mined because, you know, you can't create character. All you can do is respect it.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, as we wrap up here, I'll just tell you, like, the older I get, and I had a few health scares in the last few years, and it does cause you to slow down a little bit and reflect a little bit on your life and say, okay, it's not going to last forever, and it is precious, and you have this time here with the ones you love, and boy, if you can create an environment, a work environment, where you have relationships that are meaningful and authentic and deep, and I always say at our office, if you can love home life and your family and it gives you a lot of enjoyment and satisfaction, and if you can come to work and it feels like your second home and you're there and you're energized and ready to be part of something bigger than yourself, you're doing something right. I'll take that one step further. For me, I want to do business with people that I learn from. I want to do business with people who care about communities, who are thoughtful and inspire me and teach me. And Fred, I say it all the time. It's like a dream. I'm so thankful that stars aligned and we're together on these things. I look forward to the buildings. I said this just yesterday. Someone was asking me about you, and I said, you know, the District of 10 Mile, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be the way it integrates and the way we're just going to be so proud of the buildings and what it does for families and the community. Whitewater Village will be the same. But when I'm done with those, it won't be the buildings. It won't be the streetscapes. It probably won't be the fountains. It'll be the experiences I had with you and our teams, the hard work, the you know, figuring problems out, solving the pro formas and financing and all along with friends that I respect and I learn from. Boy, that's the gold if there ever were a way to live your life. So thank you very much. Thanks for coming on. I look forward to working hard with you. I look forward to trying to keep up with you because I love the fact that you never stop, and we're going to do some great things together. So thanks for being on with us today, and I really appreciate you, Fred.
Thank you, Tom. It's an honor to be a part of your life and part of your company and your ventures, and we're going to have some fun together. We'll do some great work.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.